listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Hello. Okay. Tonight we are here at fakeologist.com, and we have Faye and me in the live stream.
And we invite everyone who wants to join us. We are going to talk about the latest event with the mass shooting, school shooting, or what it is called. And Gaia will do an introduction.
Okay. It is the Parkland, Florida school shooting of today, 14th of February, 2018. There are already a couple of interesting links before we go into the so-called shooting itself. Because, well, the 14th of February is, of course, Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And on Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day and Halloween are dates which are, they are not chosen at random. I mean, they are holidays or, you know, not public holidays, not that you get off, but they are celebrations of so-called Christian saints and so, Saint Valentine, that's why it's called Valentine's Day. But these dates are particularly interesting, as it seems, for the people who stage things. And then at this, we are here in Parkland, that is a community, it is north of Fort Lauderdale in Florida. And Parkland is also the name of a movie from 2013 about the JFK assassination. That is the first strange clue. And today we have an anniversary of another school shooting. Well, it was not a school, but a university. But they do these things like they make anniversaries of former PSYOPs. And today, 14th of February, exactly 10 years ago, in 2008, we had the Northern Illinois University shooting, where a guy with the name Stephen Kaczmierczak, it's some Polish name, killed 5 people, and he also died, and 21 were injured. In DeKalb, that is a part of Illinois. And the shooting was running from 3:05 until 3:11 p.m., as it seems. So that is what is today, and we are analyzing this this shooting and this strange and crazy stories, and especially the images. And then I will give the floor to Faye, because she has looked at those images.
Yes, I have looked at those images, and I'm trying to... firstly, I was very impressed, because they are not completely unknown, but I have not really seen such images again, especially the images... I mean, there are two categories. There are the images of the vehicles, mostly, on the street, and there is a crossroad. You know, I haven't spent enough time yet because I just arrived home and saw that this was happening. So I have only looked at some material. And the pictures that are from the earth taken, they are normal. I mean, they are normal for a drill, actually. But they do not have visual specialties so much. But the other category are the pictures that are taken, as I understand, from a drone camera. There is one video that I put on the live stream where it can be seen how it zooms out and zooms in too fast and too far away to be a, I don't know, a crayon or something, a building. And these pictures, they are milky, blurry, and especially the parts where the children or young persons or portrayed young persons are shown to come out in series, one behind the other, they look really strange. I cannot understand them yet. They have no faces. They are, I mean, to have such a... But you have, on the other hand, you have details on the trees. You can see very small lines that that picture that depict leaves or other structures that are quite smaller than, for example, features of faces of humans. So there are contradictions in this representations, and I think it is worth to discuss about it. And I had the thought that maybe, as it is said, there was a drill in the morning, and in the afternoon then something happened, or later during the day something happened, as the father of one child that is still obviously, or as they say, in the building, there are rumors that one of the quote-unquote children opened fire, actually, against the others.
Yes,
so, please, Gaia.
Well, the story goes that the shooter, his name is Nicolas Cruz. He's given in the media the name that. And he is 19 years old, and he was an ex-student of this high school. So it's not 19 years, so he's older.
Okay. What kind of school is it? Because I didn't
see it. It's a high school.
Ah, okay. It's a high school. So they are all older than 18.
No. I think it's between 16 and 18, right? I don't know.
I don't know how it is in the States.
Okay. No, yeah, I have the same thing. But I just want to comment on what Faye said, and that is right. There is one picture, especially. And it is just, it looks like it's taken from behind a smoke screen. It is completely white with, I will share the picture again. So
yes, please.
We can talk about it. And it is, indeed, what Faye says is true. I mean, the faces are unrecognizable. And according to the story, or not according to the story, but what you would think is that these pictures are taken by a drone. It's this picture. And it's completely, it's smoky, it's fog, but it's a clear day. I mean, there's nothing happening in this, I mean, if you look at the other pictures, it's completely sunny and clear day, and there's no fog whatsoever. But this photo, it's completely foggy, and it looks like from a completely different place or time or weather type. And, indeed, the faces are all blurry. And the other photo, of the we have well, first of all, what happens is what we see in the photos is that all the emergency vehicles, like there's lots of fire trucks, fire department trucks, and it's strange because you wouldn't expect so many. I mean, they're literally like 20 to 30 fire trucks. Why would they be there? I mean, you would expect ambulances and police, but not fire department. There's no fire reported. Maybe one or two as backup or something. Okay, but not to 20 to 30. I mean, it's a small community. It's not like a big city. Then there is a second picture that is also a very interesting one. That is the police car where the so-called shooter is led into by the police. He has a wine red shirt on. But on the top of the police car, it's prominently said 9407.
Ah, yes.
9-11. 9-11. Right?
What car is that? Is that a Hyundai?
Oh, I don't know. Could be. I don't recognize it. Yeah, it has a bit of a Hyundai type of of symbol. I don't know. It could be. I don't know.
So this is a shooter guy.
So the guy in the red shirt,
yes,
in the Bordeaux red, the wine red shirt. That is
the alleged shooter. Okay.
Well, he is let into a police car, but it's also strange because the story goes that he was put into an ambulance. And then you see we have footage where the helicopter, I think it's not a drone because it's too far. I think it's a helicopter is following the ambulance going to an hospital, but very far away because it goes on for minutes and minutes and minutes. And one comment that one of our fellow truth seekers was making is that there is no traffic. I mean, if you are in Florida at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there's traffic everywhere, of course. But it's completely, I mean, they can go on for minutes without finding any traffic. It's suspicious. But the story already, if he is let into a police car, why then the story changes and he is let into a ambulance because, according to the story, he was also hit or something or injured. But he is now led to a police car. But then what happens? Is the police car delivering him in an ambulance? I don't think that is what happens, you know. But we have English James also joining. Hello, English James. He is not listening in, I think. But please, Faye, continue with your ideas about this.
Yes, I'm just, it was only an idea and it was spontaneous. Maybe I should read more newspapers again so I have a better impression of the mass media. But as I saw these pictures, I thought, and with the infos that I had, I thought it was a drill and for all the purposes that are, and it is also HRDPR because they present it like that now.
Can I ask Faye, what is an HRDPR?
Yes, that's a hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real. That means it is a drill, but the media reproduce the material in the public sphere, saying that this really happened, and of course then it has also infos that do not apply to the reality. If it is like that, there is no one that dies in such an event, but it's a drill. But they say there are maybe 200 dead, or I don't know, whatever.
Do you have examples of that in the past? I mean, other references to other...
Yes, yeah. But I cannot remember the look them up in the list of PSYOPs, which everyone can find on the fakeopedia.com. Is that right, Gaia?
Well, if you type in fakeopedia,
you can find it on Google, yes.
Then on Google you will find it.
Yes.
I can think of the Boston bombings. That is a clear example of that, right?
Example, yes. The Boston bombings, exactly. I don't remember the date, though.
The 15th of April 2013.
Ah, okay, super. You remember everything? So, what I was saying is, as I saw these pictures and as I got the information that there was a drill, and now there are information that lead to the hypothesis that it was a drill, which is now portrayed as a real event. And as it is combined with visual material, which is quite synthetic, let's say, at least, I had the idea that this is also an experiment for some kind of technological invention that they have. For example, to combine real visual material, I mean with real, I mean digital technology working with pixels but based on light and lenses, with augmented material that they can put into the scenery afterwards so that they can alter the content, etc. Because, I mean, it's really not not convincing to have such details in some parts of the image and completely no shadows in the facial parts, so that you think it's like Playmobil. The figures of the people are like something like Playmobil.
Yes, and just let me go back to that foggy picture.
Yes.
Now I see it. Because if you look at all the other pictures, it was a very clear, sunny day with very definitive shadows. And there are no shadows whatsoever to be seen in this foggy picture. So that cannot happen. If it's a clear day, you should see shadows. And even
you have
if there is some disturbance like...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
So if you look at that photo of, there's a very foggy photo. It's produced by the Daily Mirror from England. And there you see no shadows whatsoever. So even if it would be some smoke in front of between the camera and the people, and still, there would be shadows, and there would be a little bit less marked than in the other photos, but there would be shadows. And in this case, there are no shadows.
Gaia, are you talking of this one photo that you put earlier in the live stream, which has on the left, on the top, WPLG, Parkland, Florida?
The one above the car, the police car.
Okay, yeah. You know, I'm not sure if... let me say how I see it, because the car that is on the front, down left...
What is it, this police car? Which photo?
No, the photo of the people coming down and in our direction, the young persons.
You're talking about the three photos you've posted, yeah?
No, about the two that you posted... The last two, I'm talking about the other one.
Yeah, is
it that one that you were talking now about?
Yes.
Okay. Because I see it in another way. I see that the car that is on the left down has actually light. It is a minimum 30% or 40% more lightened, or is it called in English, than
lit,
the rest of
lit.
The picture. Lit than the rest of the picture. Also, the person that's totally on the right down has also, but less than the car.
Yes.
So one possibility would be that this picture is taken by a drone, but very far away, so that means not helicopter, that means, more than, I don't know what this should be, 1,000 meters maybe away, you know? And
but
then
you
have
a big zoom.
I need a big zoom. Some of these drones have that kind of photographic apparatus. And then you have this difference in the... I mean, you have the blurriness because of the distance and the atmosphere that is in between. So it makes everything a little bit gray, but the difference stays between the parts that are lit and the parts that are not. That could be an explanation.
Yeah, okay.
Why we don't see shadows. Because there would be trees on the right, which all this part would be in the shadow except the front. And the line would be okay, you know, between the car and the white person. But that's only a hypothesis. We don't know.
Yeah, well, what we see is, I mean, the car is white. We see, only see the front of the car. And the car is definitely white and bright white. But we see in the picture also people who are wearing white. And that is much less white. It's much grayer than what the car is.
Yeah, that's true. But as we, the part of the picture that is closer to us is in totally, if you make a diagonal through the picture from the car to the two white shirts, you see that the part closer to us is more lit than the part behind. So there is a difference. But the difference is blurred out because of the distance and the atmosphere that is in between. Mm-hmm. So it must be a great distance. Maybe it's 2 kilometers, but it's not a satellite, that we know for sure.
Yes, we know that for sure. There's another picture. I will share it again as well, and we can talk about it. And later we will put these pictures in the live stream show notes, so they will end up on the blog.
Yes, we're now...
blog. There's another picture here. It's, again, it is very blurry. We cannot make out any faces. We see police with one police guy with a dog. And they are entering this one of the doors in the school. Again, there are no shadows. It is a very clear, very sunny day. But there is also a very strange object in this photo. And it is a golf cart. What does a golf cart do at the on a school territory?
Maybe it's not a golf car. Maybe it's these cars that cut the grass.
No, this is a definite golf cart. I've driven them.
Really?
I mean, yes, it is.
You play golf, Gaia?
No, I don't. I play golf, but I have driven them. On holidays, yeah. Certain places in the Caribbean, and then they don't have, they rent these out to drive around. If you don't have a big island, you can drive in a golf cart or a quad, or you know that. So that happened, but it is completely strange why such a golf cart would be there next to the door on a, in a school area, right?
I don't know. For me, it doesn't.
Well, the same problem we have here is that there are no shadows whatsoever. So, if we are talking about photo fakery or staging of these things, it looks very Playmobil-like. It looks very blurry. It looks very low resolution. But even with a low resolution, it looks strange, right?
Yes, it looks unusual. Let's say this concretely picture that you now put in the stream, this does not disturb me so much as the others. I tell you why, because it is it has the same strangeness all over. It is not. It has no irregularities. You know, it's all the same type. It's all the same. Unusual art of picture. The golf car, as you say, this does not impress me because maybe I don't know exactly if they are not used also in areas where there are big surfaces of grass in parks and schools. I don't know, so they do have to use them to cut the grass or to make the distances from one building to the other, I don't know. It is a quite strange mobile, that's true. It's so a little bit futuristic. There is also a cage in front.
That could be like some gas tank or something that is shielded with a fence around it or something. I mean, there is a fence, yes, it's true.
There is a fence?
Just in front of the guy, the police guy with the dog, there is a fence, and let's say, what is it, 3 meters by 1.5 meters enclosed area with a fence. Yeah. We cannot see everything of it, but to the top we can see, and yes, that is there. But it could be, I don't know, like a, if you have a water well or a gas tank or something that can be in there and it's fenced off so the students don't damage it or something. Something.
Or well, maybe the ducks. Yeah.
Yeah, but you I put another picture in, and there you see how bright it is, the day.
Yes.
Sunny, you see sharp shadows, it's a very sunny day, there's no clouds, it's very clear day. Mm. And then that's the difference with the other photos we were talking about.
Gaia, you have for sure used, haven't you?
Sorry, I missed your question.
Ah, yes, I mean, the picture... on the top, with the policeman in front of the door, reminds me, but I don't have really used telescope, only these binoculars, you know, to watch the mountain, which is not so far away, quasi. But it's that type of disturbance that the picture has. It's from too far away, and the differences between lit parts and less lit parts are... equalated, or how would we say that in English?
Yeah, okay, I can. Yeah, I understand what you mean.
You understand what I mean.
But I mean, if you take these other pictures from a helicopter or from a drone in a medium, then I mean, you see the same altitude more or less and same blurriness. I will share another photo that was shared by Faye earlier because that's a very interesting one. And there you see bright shadows, but still blurry faces.
Completely
but bright, very bright shadows. Very, it's very well lit. It's sunny, but the shadows are there, so it's very different than the other pictures. But if you look at the wheels of this military vehicle, I mean, it's completely blurred out. I mean, you cannot even recognize the tires, right?
And the people who do not have faces, they are really like Playmobil. That it's completely hyper-realistic, this picture.
Yes.
Could be augmented? I don't know. We need a specialist in CGI.
Yeah, well, it definitely looks very strange.
Else. Did you mention that in the picture above, with the on the crossroad, the three white cars are the same. Three identical white cars.
Two cars are identical and the other is different, but yes.
Is it different?
Right.
Or
right.
Is it only the perspective?
No. It's a different model. I mean, that is like a more van type of car on the left. But the two cars there on the right, they are identical. And I think
they're really
Hyundai's. Hyundai...
okay.
What is the type? I don't remember. But they are completely equal, these cars, yes.
Yeah.
One door open and the other one is all doors closed.
Ah, could it be that the fourth white car that is behind the tree is the same than the van that you said?
No, because that is a sedan type of car. And so the van it's like a Chrysler minivan, you know, these ones.
Ah, yeah, that's a crazy.
And then you see the bars on the roof. So it's like a ski where you can put a ski box on it, you know.
Okay.
That is different. And also on this, it's good. But because also on this picture, taken by a drone or by a helicopter, but it's very low resolution. Again, we see a black vehicle, a black, military vehicle, and it's completely impossible to make out any details of that.
Yeah. It looks like a little bit like an old timer, something like an old Mercedes or something.
These square ones.
Yes,
definitely.
You know, this one, we had a video sequence which was published somewhere. So from this one, we know that it was, or we can suppose that it is taken by a drone, because I saw that sequence and it makes a zoom out and zoom in, which is not possible with a helicopter.
No, but with someone in a camera. Someone filming from a helicopter with a camera, he or she can zoom in and out.
Yeah, but you have movement then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here you don't have any movement. You have only zoom in, zoom out, as if you are hanging on the seal or on the rib, in the clouds or something. No, it's taken. I say it's taken by a drone, and I'm not sure, of course, yeah. But let's go back to this one, which is so strange. Also, the soldiers or policemen or what that is.
The SWAT team.
They are like placed on a birthday cake. You know, they are like stick
yeah,
on this.
They really look like those miniature model soldiers, right?
Yes. It's unreal. Yeah. This is really unreal.
Yeah, this picture. Yeah, you're right. Something else, the greatest president of all time in history, of course, we are talking about Donald Trump. Well, he uses the name Donald Trump, but Trump is his family name, actually. He put out a tweet saying, "My prayers and condolences to the families of the victims of the terrible Florida shooting. No child, teacher, or anyone else should ever feel unsafe in an American school." This tweet has two different times when it was released. There are two sources. We have the Daily Mail, it's in British newspaper, and we have The Mirror, which is also a British newspaper. In the Daily Mail, the time of release is 12:50 p.m. So it's 10 minutes to 1 in the afternoon. And in the Mirror, the same tweet has been copied there, and then it says it's 3:50 p.m. So it's 3 hours later. Then the question arises,
it's crazy.
How can it be? Because if you can explain this difference in time between the Eastern U.S. time and Eastern Standard Time, where Florida is and where also Washington is, with the U.K., which is Greenwich time, it is 5 hours difference. So it doesn't fit because there's only 3 hour difference between these times. But the shooting is said to have happened at around 2:30 in the afternoon. 2:30 p.m. So if the time of this tweet in the Daily Mail at 12:50 p.m. would be right, then the time is 1 hour 40 minutes before the so-called shooting happened.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just looking because I saw the tweet also. And as I copied it from that medium where I found it, there was an interesting info about one of the witnesses, which said something that her mother had died in Sandy Hook.
Oh,
or something.
Wow.
I don't remember where I put it. Is it in Genera? Or
well, if you can look it up, that would be
yeah, yeah.
In the meantime, I just want to highlight another point. I've listened to the so-called live broadcast of the news, the Miami, I don't know, it was the Miami Herald or something, I mean, from Miami news channel. And then they said, literally, I'm quoting, "We now have the staging centers where parents can go."
Yes,
so they blocked off the area, and then they have staging centers. What does that mean? That sounds really either it's an inside view or it's a very strange way of phrasing it. Right?
We should ask a natural speaking English person because maybe it has many meanings. It could mean you can come here and eat something. Or to stay, or I don't know.
No, you staging. Literally like staging.
Staging.
Stage, like a theater, like a stage.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it means that there are tents so they can rest. I'm not sure. Look, I found a tweet.
Okay. Yeah.
I just put it in there. I cannot see on this retweet of Trump's tweet the time. I should open the link. Maybe it's there. But in the meantime, you can read the tweet that I actually wanted to retweet, and that is Elif Garp wrote on 10/11 on February 14. You are right. I've been saying this since my mom was murdered at Sandy Hook in 2012. So is it finally time to talk gun sense? I'm happy to share my experience with you. Gun and sense. Senses make sense. This makes sense. Let's make sense. To talk about gun regulation, I understand this means. I'm happy to share my experience with you to help brainstorm solutions. And she is the one who retweets the tweet of Donald Trump, which is 12:50. That's the time that you mentioned earlier.
Where did you find that? Is it in the reactions on the tweet that Donald Trump put out?
No, that's from this tweet that I copied.
I clicked the retweet in there. Oh, because I've clicked the link on this Twitter, but that is a different one then. That is the one of Donald Trump.
Okay.
Because it would be very interesting, and especially because if this, I think it's a man, if he calls him Elif Garp, if he says his mom was murdered at Sandy Hook, how many adults were actually murdered at Sandy Hook?
And nobody was murdered in Sandy Hook.
Yeah, of course, but according to the official...
According to the script, I don't remember.
There were like only two teachers, I think, and there were 26 children or something. So the, one of the teachers didn't have children. It was Victoria Soto.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one other teacher. So it would be that one teacher that was so-called murdered at Sandy Hook. That was exactly the mother of the person reacting now on this tweet.
What was the name of that woman? Victoria?
Well, the one that was... I think she was a teaching assistant. Her name was Victoria Soto. And she had a sister, and, well, actually they swapped her, because...
Wasn't that the actress which had also played in... Oops.
Yeah, that could be, yeah.
Just a minute. Looking. That's a young person. Victoria Soto is a young person.
Yes, I'm wrong. Elif Garp is actually a woman. Because her name is Erica Lafferty, and her mother, Dawn Hochsprung, which means high jump in German, was the principal of Sandy Hook Elementary School, and she is the one who responded, the daughter, so Erica Lafferty, to this tweet of Donald Trump. I will share it.
Okay.
The link, I will share it right now. It's from The Guardian.
Mm.
At The Guardian, there we have the statement of Erica Lafferty talking about how her mother, who was Dawn Hochsprung, she was the principal of Sandy Hook Elementary School, who died in that so-called mass shooting, which is really... any listener, if you haven't looked at Sandy Hoax, that is the entry level into what we are all talking about here at Fakeology.
Shall I put the link in there? Or do we have a Fakeopedia site already?
Not yet. No, but it is
in progress.
Very clear. It's very clear. I mean, if you want this crisis acting... smiling parents who just lost their children and then they are coming on TV, like Robbie Parker. Sandy Hoax is the place to study if you want to understand what we are talking about here.
But now I'm thinking, meanwhile, there is a whole tribe, we could say, of people that have taken part in such simulated or staged or, I don't know how to call them, hyper-realistic drills that can be witnesses of other events, even if they are not there, because they lost someone, allegedly, in another such event. So, in the end, everything will be completely virtual.
Exactly. Well, that is what you're
saying.
Your work has been on hoax management and narrative management, and we see that all the time, linking all these different triops together, and you're right. You don't need to be somewhere. You just can put out some tweet, linking yourself or other people or friends or family to other events, and then reinforce the programming that event also happened. So
exactly.
Now, if someone reads this tweet, he or she thinks, oh, that is a horrible school shooting. Oh, we have to do something about it. And then they read, oh, there was another school shooting in Sandy Hook that everybody knows about in the U.S., of course. And, oh, my mother was murdered there. She was the principal and was murdered by Adam, 45-kilo lightweight Lanza, who reached a 96% accuracy in his shooting, comparing the number of bullets versus the number of bullet wounds that he allegedly produced in a school in Newtown, Connecticut. And actually, I think that is very interesting, because it was also on the 14th of a month. It was the 14th of December. It was the 14th of December, 2012.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And just before I forget it, the other day you added into our glossary of fakeology, which can be found on fakeologist.com/fakeopedia, you added a new term, circular
reporting.
Exactly. So we have circular reporting, which means, let me just read it exactly as you put it in our glossary.
I will explain where the term comes from. The term comes from the No Agenda Show, which is a radio show talking about media fakery and all that. It is hosted by an American guy who has lived in Holland for a long time, and he speaks Dutch. He has been on TV in Holland.
Oh.
His name is Adam Curry. I knew about him from my childhood. And he is hosting that show, and he talks about media events and all these things we are talking about. And he, in that show, the term came up, circular reporting. So please, Faye, if you're ready, explain what it means.
Yes, I just read it as you wrote it down in our glossary. Circular reporting is when a report is created by the military intelligence apparatus, and then a second source relies on that first script as confirmation of a primary source, while in reality both reports were written by the same group. So that was your definition. Maybe you explain your definition now. You wrote it down.
Yeah, because I have taken that from the same radio show that he talked about it.
Of course, of course.
And it was shown on the fakeologist.com blog by App, the fakeologist. But what is interesting about Adam Curry, he hosts that show, and he does that for already quite some years. He lives now in the U.S. again, but he used to live in Holland for many years. He is the nephew of a former CIA official and the ambassador of the U.S. to Korea, and his name is Donald Gregg.
That's really... How do you know such stuff? Are you also...
I found this on Wikipedia, so that's not very secret.
Okay. And you have no relatives in the CIA, Gaia?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay.
No, not at all. But this is... I looked into... Because I... when I... I've listened to a couple of episodes from this No Agenda show that app... links to quite frequently.
Okay.
So, and I mean, Adam Curry, he is the only one I know app for 3 months now. And Adam Curry, I know for 20 years, more or less. So that
I have never listened to him. Is it interesting? Shall I look
It is. I mean, that his uncle was in the CIA doesn't mean that he cannot be completely unrelated and not controlled, right? I mean, you don't have any control over what your family members have done in the past.
Yes, it's true. But, Gaia, what I was heading to, if that is understandable, On this term that we have now from the No Agenda show, circular reporting, I just think that it is time that we now create another term for exactly those kind of witnesses, as Elaf Garb, who I repeat it, wrote today on 11 minutes past 4, "You are right," she answers to Donald Trump. "You are right. I've been saying this since my mom was murdered at Sandy Hook in 2012. So, is it finally time to talk gun sense? I am happy to share my experience with you to help brainstorm solutions." And I think this constitutes a kind of circular virtual.
Yes.
Circular virtual reporting.
Yes,
and,
well, I would, if I can, we can just discuss ideas about the terminology, because language is ours, right? So I would suggest just throw it out there, and then you think about other terms. Psi repetition, like repetition of psyops. Suggest another term, which is better, because it's not really a good term, I think. So,
do we have that, psyop repetition?
No, there is no term. Well, there may be
online,
but we don't have it in our language, and I think it's good to create our own language. Language is ours, and I am talking to Faye, and Faye is an expert on language, so...
Oh, thank you, but not really, and I don't want to be one. I love language, but I'm not good enough in English to express how much I love language. But Gaia, one question. Tell me an example for that psyops can be repeated.
Well, there are many stories of so-called victims who were not killed but injured, and witnesses of, for example, on the Ariana Grande concert, there was someone it was in Manchester, England, and then that person was also miraculously surviving the Boston bombings. I mean,
stories, you mean?
Yes.
Or were there not also some guys who survived 9/11 and then were also in Nizza? In Nice?
Yes.
Or something in Paris? Or
yeah, and the same was with the Brussels airport, so-called bombings. There were also people that were on other
Yes, yes.
And we have, if I just can go into a little bit deeper, but it's the same thing. It's sure. related. I mean, a famous example is a guy with the very uncommon last name. His name is Richard Gutjahr. Richard Gutjahr. He is married to a member of the Knesset, which is the Israeli parliament. So we have already quite some interesting links there. And he reported that he was in Nice there at this so-called truck attack in on the 14th of July, the French national holiday in 2016. And then, literally 9 days later, I think it was 9 days, it was 23rd of July, he was also in Munich, in München, where the so-called Olympia Mall was so-called attacked by one lone gunman shooter, and he was also there. How are the odds? What are the odds, right? That this reporter, he is a so-called freelance reporter, was at both those places.
He's not freelance. He's in the German media well known.
He's a German student.
He's studied in Germany. I read this story. In Nice, actually, he was the first one who gave material to the media. He was the only one who had pictures from the balcony of his hotel.
No, it's more. He is the one who filmed this truck allegedly running over people. He is the source of that video. That only video that exists.
Yes. But you know, this is for me. I'm only speculating. You know, I like speculation. But for me, that's too. Of course, you know, if you stage an event, you should be sure that the sources will deliver the material so that you can kick off the media reporting. But in this case, I have in my mind an exception, because it seems staged in itself that this Richard Gutjahr was there and there. I mean, that's a double deception. That's my opinion, you know, because he has many troubles he has caused many troubles, and others have caused many troubles to him, and all this you know, the pattern with there is some Jew who blah blah, and his Knesset and Mossad and all that. That's for me PSYOP style, you know. That goes directly in, you know, the speculation that this is a double deception is very, I give it very, very much probability, more than 80%. Of course, I cannot be sure, but.
But that this same guy reported to have been on two so-called terror events in Europe, completely, I mean, there's like, what is it? Like 1,000 miles between Nice and Munich. That is quite remarkable, right?
No, Nice and Munich are not 1,000. It's you know, that's not the important point. I ask it other. We are discussing. You know, I don't have a position, so I'm saying it's just a hypothesis. But tell me one other reporter that is well known that he has or she has been the first reporter, except 9/11, huh? Where we know many names, but I mean, in this after 9/11 events, they are not known. They are there. We know that they have to be there because they have to kick off the media reporting, but you never come to know who was in Berlin on the Christmas market, who was in, I don't know where, in London. The underground station, who was in Spain, who was in Norway, you never get to know it. Why do you get to know this Richard Gutjahr, please? This question has never been answered. And I think it is worth a thought.
Well, I know about him because I looked into the Nice case and the Munich case big time at that time. There are many cases I didn't look into big time, but these cases I looked into. And then I saw the same name appearing. And what are the odds, right? I mean, he is
yeah, but it's the only name you see. From all those staged events, it's the only name you have seen. Why?
Oh, yeah, that can happen in other places too, but I didn't look into it. And I mean, that
no. In a stage event, Gaia, nothing can happen by accident. That's sure.
Exactly.
You control everything. If you stage an event, you control everything. So he's part of that. He's part of that, and he knows that he's going to be in that
exactly.
role. That's clear.
Exactly.
Okay, so what is the purpose of that? That is what you have to think.
Well, it shows that, I mean, like the so-called witnesses or the so-called injured, not dead victims, there is another famous case, and we'll come into in a minute, but that these people are repeated like witnesses, you know, like Ariana Grande and Boston bombing, or Brussels attack and Ariana Grande, or, and that is a famous, famous case, and there is a big fuss now going on Clues Forum about that, because we have, of course, Noah Posner. Noah Posner is allegedly a child, a guy, a boy, who was killed at Sandy Hook school shooting in 2012. And then 2 weeks later, there was a so-called school shooting in Pakistan, the Peshawar school shooting, and his photo has been used in this after this PSYOP. They put out pictures of the children that were allegedly killed there at the school shooting, and they're the same picture. They didn't change it. It was the same picture they showed on the wall in Pakistan of this boy that died at that school shooting, and it was the same picture of the boy that already died 2 weeks before in Sandy Hook.
I've seen the picture, yes, yes. I wonder these seemingly details, because I cannot understand the reason why this material should be there, other than it has a purpose to be there.
No, I think it's just sloppiness. I think these people don't care. They know that the vast majority of people don't believe these stories. So they don't care. They just repeat. I mean, look at the Apollo stuff. They repeat mountains in the background, and people have spotted that, and there are people who say, yeah, they put it in on purpose. Yeah, what purpose? No, I mean, they're just sloppy. I mean, people are lazy in general. If you can get away with doing less work than more work, the people do that. So the people who create these events and psyops, they do the same thing, right? I mean, they just, it's just sloppiness.
I don't know. It also is laying traces that you find after. Let's go back to Richard Goodyear, for example. Richard Goodyear was, because, you know, Europe is small. Europe is, I don't know.
Still, there are 500 million people living there, right?
Yes, of course, but it's not, you know, it's not far. Nizza, France, Germany, long contradictions in policies, and the whole political stuff that is going on, and then there is this after 9/11 PSYOP period of history. And Richard Goodyear is the only media person that we know by his name, which comes to be well known and which comes to be debunked by German so-called researchers which are also prominent in the media. And he has sued one of these journalists, and there's going to be maybe it has already been, I'm not sure, I didn't follow it afterwards. He sued them for defamation, is it called, I think, because they accused him of having been there in Nice and in Munich, and so he has to be, to have been in the know, and blah, blah. So what does that create? It creates the old, let me find the word, platitude of the German anti-Semite, and cooks it again, boils it in the media.
By anti-Semite?
If a German accuses a Jew or a Jewish connection.
The word anti-Semite or anti-Semite, it doesn't make sense because
I know that.
I just want to. I mean, there are people listening in, right?
Yes, true. Sorry.
So, Semitic, that refers to a language group. So it would be like saying if you're anti-Slavic, Slavic languages like Russian and Slovenian and Croatian, there are Slavic languages.
I think Russian is not Slavic. It's Kyrillic.
It's an Eastern Slavic language.
Yeah.
An anti-Semite would mean, according to the meaning of words, someone who is against someone or the language, or someone that speaks that language, who speaks a Semitic language. That is not someone who criticizes a Jew. And there is no reason why you wouldn't be able to criticize a Jew. I mean, you can criticize Christians or Muslims or Buddhists. I mean, someone's religion doesn't have anything to do with if you can criticize someone, right?
Yes, of course, but I remember the story that there was, I guess it was some prominent actor who did it, actually. He was burning a Quran in the United States 10 years ago or 15, I don't remember. And he was producing such an atmosphere, you know, against Islam, who is damaging our culture and is unfree and all this stuff. You know, if you produce a story in the media which has this attribute, you reactivate a pattern. Okay. It's that simple. If you activate in Europe the pattern that a Jew was in Nice and a German journalist is sued from this journalist because he debunked him that he was involved and in the know, that is kicking off the pattern for anti-Semitism. It doesn't matter if anti-Semitism is against the language, and if the Palestinians are the Semites and the Israelis are not, and if the difference between Zionism and anti-Semitism is that the one is a political concept and the other is a language, and the third one, the Jewishness, is a religion. Doesn't matter at all, because that what matters is you kick the pattern off in the media and then it runs. And that's only, you know, one thing to take under consideration before you step into that trap and think, oh yeah, Richard Kutcher was in Nice and he was in Munich. You have to think about why is it known that he was in Nice.
Well, he released the information, so he is his own source.
He is his own source.
Let me go into another example of connected psyops, because I think that's an interesting point. It is something we talked about before. Just a couple of days ago, it was the anniversary, the 12th of February, Because what happened then in 2009, there was a flight in the US. It was flying, it was a very short flight because it was in the same state. Or no, it was not in the same state, but it was very short. From Newark to Buffalo, New York, Hogan Air Flight 3407. So there you have your 77 as a marker. That flight that allegedly crashed, and on this flight there were quite some famous people, let's say, or people who had links to other PSYOPs.
Celebrities.
Yeah, more or less celebrities. The first one, and then I will go into the one we will talk about. You know already what I'm going to say, but we have Alison Desforges. Well, that's probably not her name. In American English, you would call her Alison Desforges or something. She was a human rights investigator and an expert on the Rwandan genocide. The Rwandan genocide, for the people who don't know that, it was the biggest genocide of the 1990s, where allegedly, I think it was 500,000 people or something, they were killed. Between the Hutus and the Tutsis. We have to look into that for a later audio chat. But the one we want to highlight here, her name is Beverly Eckert, which is also a German-sounding last name. So a
Flemish.
It's Eckert. It sounds German. She's probably Jewish too. it's not nothing against Jews in general. That is not the point.
I will convert to Judaism out of protest.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Her husband, it was Wayne Rooney. No, sorry, it was Sean Rooney. But the last name you write, just like the famous English football player, Wayne Rooney. And he was a victim of the 9/11 attack. And this woman, Beverly Eckert, she was not just married to Sean Rooney, who died in the Twin Towers or somewhere in the attacks of 11th of September at age 50. No, she was not just her husband, his wife. No, she was an activist and an advocate for the creation of the 9/11 Commission. She was one of the members of the 9/11 Family Steering Committee. So she was big time involved in it, and on her Wikipedia page, she shakes hands with the President of the United States, the ex-President, Barack Obama. I mean, there are not many people who can say they have done that.
I think it was the day before she died in that, or she allegedly died in that crash. It was one day before, or not? Or very close to the event?
Yes, you're right. It's 6 days before.
6 days before.
6 days before this so-called crash happened. Mm-hmm. She shook hands with Barack Obama, and that picture is on Wikipedia. And she died at age, or allegedly died in this plane crash at age 57. While she was going, she was en route to Buffalo, New York, to celebrate her husband's 58th birthday. That is strange, because her husband, he died in 2001 at age 50 in September, and we are now talking about February, and she was going to celebrate her husband, who has been dead, so-called dead, for 7 years already, right? I mean, 8 years already. Yes, you can mourn dead husband or your dead wife, but 8 years later, are you still celebrating your ex-husband or your husband who died birthday? in New York, in Buffalo, New York. Do you do that? I mean, is that normal behavior?
I remember, but I'm not really sure, and I cannot find it so fast now. I remember that she were traveling there because she were going to give a speech in some forum or gremium or whatever related to the committee of the 9/11 victims, families of the victims committee, or how was it called?
That's interesting.
That's what I read about.
Stories. Then we have two different stories.
Okay. But now actually I'm looking, and maybe you can help me. Simon Schack and Clues Forum have produced one video especially for the Jersey girls, for those four women that had lost allegedly their husbands on 9/11, and that were the driving force to create the, what is the official name of that? What was
the 9/11 Family Steering Committee?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And that's of great importance because that is part of the follow-up of the 9/11 SIOP, of course. That is not that is part of that narrative to create that group and to control the progress of I say it in other words, if you had any group of people that were demanding a proper investigation of what happened on 9/11, it could have been another result. But if you have a group and you control this demand yourself, then you can direct it, and that is the meaning of controlled opposition. So
this
steering committee, and I'm trying to find that clip which is about them, but I can't find it.
While you do that, I will just highlight one other point. On the Wikipedia page of this woman, she said that she met her future husband, so that is the guy, Sean P. Rooney, who allegedly died at 9/11, at a dance at Canisius High School, a Jesuit-run academy in Buffalo, New York. Jesuit school. So both, they were going to a Jesuit school. Well, we know about Jesuits, right?
I don't know anything about Jesuits.
It is one of the many organizations involved in all these staging of history and events. I mean,
that's a hypothesis which I don't share.
The Jesuits, the Freemasons, there are many Jewish organizations. I mean, the Jesuits are Jewish in origin anyway, so it doesn't mean that a normal Jew is a psychopath. That is not what I'm saying. It's just like saying,
oh, it's exactly what you're saying, and that's why it's wrong.
No, it is, Jews run Hollywood. It is boasted by Jews in Hollywood.
No, that's not right.
Let me explain. That doesn't mean that when you meet a Jewish person, that he works in Hollywood, he or she works in Hollywood. That is not the same thing, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's the same. It's the same thing that the 100 meters on the Olympic Games, they are dominated by black guys. They are the fastest runners in the world. That doesn't mean that if you meet a black guy, that he is automatically a fast runner. No, of course not.
No. Sorry, you are wrong.
Where am I wrong?
You are wrong because you fall into that age-old trap.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com
website. Big way.
You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream,
I have a plan. Why can I not find this video now? Can you help
me? Just let me say, just interrupt. Not only if you want to support fakeologist.com in monetary terms, but with your ideas about what we talk about here in this chat and in other chats, maybe you have ideas about other psyops, other stage events, other hoaxes, other suspicious things in the media and in science and in history, and then just subscribe to the website, to the blog, and then post your comments and your ideas either on the blog or on the forum, and then hopefully it ends up also in Fakeopedia. That's how we can grow consciousness among us normal thinking people, critical thinking people, and then we can share our knowledge. And if you want to chat about that, then join the Discord channel that App Fakeologist put on his website, and then we can talk about these things. Faye?
Yes, I'm still searching for the, Jersey Girls, and it has a great picture of the four characters.
Okay. Let me talk in between.
Sure.
This woman what we were talking about is Beverly Eckert, who allegedly died in a plane crash in the U.S., in the eastern U.S. She was the co-chairperson of the group Voices of September 11. So there you go, right? I mean, these people are all connected. They're all sharing their PSYOP stuff. And her sister, Margot Eckert, and she filed a lawsuit in New Haven, Connecticut, against the airline, and because she claimed that the airline was responsible for her death.
Mm.
Well, we know Connecticut, it's a very small state in the U.S. New Haven and Newtown, Connecticut, are also very similar, right? Well, New Haven, Connecticut, is actually quite big. 862,477 people living there in 2010, so that is quite big. But Connecticut as a state is the third smallest state of the U.S. by area, but it's the fourth most densely populated state in the U.S., and it has a nickname, the Nutmeg State. So nutmeg is a what is it? It's a nut, you know, a nut.
Yeah.
It produces nutmeg, right?
Yeah.
In German and in Dutch, well, actually the first European settlers in Connecticut were Dutch, but nutmeg means nut from Muscat. And Muscat is the capital of Oman.
Yeah. Muscat, I know that.
Muscatnus. And Muscat, that means nut from Muscat, Oman. Because Muscat was a big center of trade let's say the Middle Ages and afterwards. And that's how the name ended up, at least in Dutch and in German. In English, it has lost its meaning a bit, because nut is still nut. But meg doesn't really relate to Muscat, but that's where the name comes from.
I cannot find it. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Eric Roy has contributed something.
Okay, no, it's fine. I mean, we can...
Yeah, but... What were we talking previously before we switched over to 9/11?
I think a good term would be like PSYOP reinforcement. Like reinforcing the PSYOPs of the past with new PSYOPs, where you, like this woman, this Gafferty woman, who now put on a tweet, my mother was killed in Sandy Hook. So please do something gunshins. I mean, it's an awful word, but do something about it. That is reinforcing a former PSYOP. And we can think about those terms, right? I mean, and also to the listeners, if you have a good term, join fakeologist.com. It's very easy. And then just suggest names. I mean, we are just normal people. We can talk. We can suggest things to each other.
Okay, no, not normal, right? But I am normal. Greek jokes. No, you know something? It's not the same yet. It's not the same. I mean, the story of Beverly Eckert and the story now today with the tweet which refers to the Sandy Hook PSYOP, that's not the same. Beverly Eckert and the committee or steering committee of the family members or what it is called, that is part of the whole project of the whole plan, you know. It is the same moment when you have to plan how to take down the towers and what you will have as a controlled opposition. You have to script everything before everything happens, you know. That is not spontaneous or later, or you think, I can reinforce that with that, combine that with that. The one is a complete project, you know. It's like a mixed reality movie where you have a movie, you have a reality scene, and you have a future scene. You produce all the three together, and you control the future through the groups that you, or the persons that you install, which have the responsibility to carry that story in the public sphere, you know. The other one is you have a PSYOP in 2012, then you have a similar PSYOP in 2018, and then you say, okay, I can use those witnesses again as a confirmation of both PSYOPs.
How we understand it now. I mean, this woman, this Gafferty, this Erica Gafferty, she was not a witness here in this PSYOP. I mean, she just tweeted on the channel of Donald Trump. It's not written by him, but by a committee behind it, of course. But she posted there, and it's like product placement, like putting out Coca-Cola or some
she
brand.
She doesn't exist, brand. You understand. She's also an actress. The mother doesn't exist.
Exactly, that is what I'm saying, yeah.
So it's
like PSYOP product placement. It's putting out a different PSYOP in there, and anybody who reads it thinks, yeah, Sandy Hook, oh yeah, I go back 6 years ago, or 5.5 years ago, oh yeah, that was bad. And now we have a new school shooting, which allegedly today, it was the 13th school shooting of 2018.
Already?
Yeah, that is what they say. I mean...
No, really?
Yeah. I mean, we are 45 days on in 2018, and allegedly we had 13 school shootings in the US only. So that means, like, every 3.5 days, there is a school shooting.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
the main
thing...
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Go.
Well, the mainstream people, I mean, we are here at fakeologist.com. We analyze these PSYOPs, these events. But if you talk to other people, call it normies, I don't like that word. But if you talk to people who are generally believing in what the media tells them, they refer to all these shootings and then say, yeah, but it happens all the time. So there's nothing strange because it happens all the time. And so the more psyops you put out there, the more people will believe that it happens because it happens so often, right? So it's a self-replicating system, or a term I introduced, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Not bad. You know what I'm now thinking? There was a speculation. I hear myself echoing. It's really annoying. I will just... Okay, I'm back. Now I'm not echoing. There was a speculation about this whole series of psyops that have to do with gun control. And I don't remember by whom it was. I hope he excuses me for that, or she. The hypothesis was that it is about not this generation. It is preparing on a medium term. It is preparing the situation for a change in the legal frame, so that in the next generation, maybe, of those who are now 15 or something, when they are 25, so that they can be more positive in regards to the change of such a law. I think it's about the Second Amendment in the United States. It's the Second Amendment, which guarantees the right to self-defense and property. And the whole American culture, the U.S. American culture, is based on that. And it is, till now, it is unimaginable to take this Second Amendment away, because, I know, that's what I understand.
Yes, I have a nice analysis. I think you're right. I think, right now, today, it's not about gun control. Because actually what happens is, after those shootings, gun sales, they increase big time. And then people like shills and people who are opposing the idea that these things are staged, they will say, yeah, but it's not about gun control, because look at all these figures. I mean, people buy more guns, so how can it be about gun control?
It is both.
Yes, it is both. That is a very good point. But your point is even better, that it is programming for the future. I mean, history doesn't have an end or a beginning. History is a continuum. For that, I would like to talk about another analogy of that. And that is what we have called on the Fakeopedia the thug scare. Thug means criminal, but criminal has a very specific meaning, and it's about law and legal stuff. And yeah, law is just a piece of paper with some text on it, but thug means like someone who is doing bad stuff, right? I mean, it's a criminal. In the 1920s and 1930s, there were a lot of thug scare psyops. You had already in the late 1900s, right? You had Buffalo Bill, and you had John Dillinger, and you had Billy the Kid, exactly. All those kinds.
Jesse James.
Yes, Jesse James, same thing. Calamity Jane. You had all these kind of what was later in the 1960s and 70s what became the serial killers. It's like social scare. It is giving the message that there are bad people around there, and there are bad people out there, of course. I mean, nobody. It's not like everybody is completely good. No, I mean, there are things happening, but it's reinforcing or propaganda of this idea that you have to be afraid of even your neighbor who could kill you because he's some serial killer or a thug or someone. And then I have to bring up a very interesting case. I found out about this tie-up because of, well, in Fakeopedia we have the Zal rule, and we are not going to discuss the Zal rule, but the a definition is, I mean, everybody, there are many people who have suggested the same thing, so it's not Zal who did that, no, but it's just a name, that if something is portrayed in a movie, an event or something, we can take the Hudson Hoax, for instance, the movie Sully with main PSYOP actor Tom Hanks, he was playing the role of the pilot that magically landed in the Hudson River on the 15th of January 2009. And then if that is portrayed in a movie, then you can safely say that there is some fishy stuff about that event. Well, the same thing happens in games, because with time, people are staying away more and more from television, and they're still watching movies, most of them, but also gradually staying away more from movies, but they play games, video games. A major, major video game is Grand Theft Auto. And Grand Theft Auto has a mission, Grand Theft Auto 5, the latest Grand Theft Auto game, has a mission where you have to rob a bank and then get out and then survive and pass the mission. Well, that mission is actually based on a so-called real event. And the event is called the North Hollywood Shootout. It is a PSYOP and it's coming up because today, exactly today, in 2 weeks, it is the anniversary of that PSYOP. And
but you have the control over the dates, as we understand, and we are very thankful for that, Kaya.
Well, that is the one I looked into because I played that game, and I played that mission, and then I was looking at the online. You have
you play games with 40? My Jesus!
No, I'm not a real big gamer or so, no, but I play some games. Okay. I'm not 40 either, but I played this game. But Grand Theft Auto, I still like. I like it as a game. It's an entertaining, nice game. It's fun to play, really. But I played that mission, and then I went on the internet. There's a website. It's called Wikia. I mean, Wikia is just making your own Wikipedia. And then they have a wiki about Grand Theft Auto 5, and then there it's described that this mission of this game is based, they call it a real event, but of course it's a PSYOP. In 1997, the 28th of February, allegedly two guys, Larry Phillips and I am sorry about the pronunciation, because it's a Romanian name, but his name is Emil Matasarianu, or something. They allegedly robbed the North Hollywood Bank of America, and two guys, and they were robbing the bank, and then they were getting out when it, of course, I mean, if a bank is robbed, then the people call the police, the LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department, and these two guys, they allegedly shot 2,000 rounds of ammunition against the police. But the best part of this whole PSYOP story, I mean, it is so crazy. What happened, allegedly, at this shootout, where two young guys, I mean, they were like, 20 years old or something, and they were robbing the bank, and then they were going out, and they were shooting at the police. But what happened was, that the police shooting back at them, they didn't have enough ammunition. So what the police did is they went into a gun store, a local gun store somewhere there in North Hollywood, Angeles, to buy ammunition to be able to shoot these guys. What?
Some psycho scriptwriter.
Yeah, and well, I mean, of course, they script these things for a purpose, because what was afterwards the purpose, the motive behind this is, yeah, we need to arm the police much better, and they need much better guns and more ammunition, and that was, of course, the whole idea behind the PSYOP. Because look, I mean, the bank robbery and the police didn't have enough bullets, so we need to arm the police better. So it's all about militarization of the police.
I lost a little bit the beginning of your story. I mean, what was the connection with the previous, the Zal rule and the if an event.
There's a game rule.
A game? Yeah, I understand that it has also now switched to, you can produce, what was it? You produce the game script and then you produce a PSYOP to produce the next game script. That's really...
Yeah, well, you reinforce a so-called real event through a game. Because the people who switched off from watching movies... People who switched off from watching news, especially guys, they are playing games. I mean, girls, usually they're watching series, let's say, I mean, on average. Women, and they like series and all that. But guys usually play games in the current era, right? That's what happens. So in these games, they put the same programming in there, but it's a bit more subtle than in movies, but still...
Call of Duty, Russia, America, it's not very subtle. Yeah.
No, yeah, well, yeah, you're right, it's very subtle, but, I mean, it's not like some guy who plays Call of Duty and starts shooting people on the street, right? I mean, no, it's not like that, but they... unconsciously get the same idea of all these PSYOPs. And in Grand Theft Auto, that's what I was playing, this mission is actually, I mean, this script, it's a script, it's a PSYOP, that is taken into that game as a mission. And but literally that the police has to go to a shop, a gun store, to buy bullets, shooting two young guys robbing a bank. It ranks among the Tesla car in space, the defecating diamonds, the human lampshades. I mean, it is so ridiculous.
It is a little bit also naturalization, you know, of the whole concept, because if it is always serious, you get bored. You don't want to listen to such stories. You have to put in some humor, some sex, some subplots, you know, that, I don't know, that, you know, remember the two that were going to get married and were killed in Bataclan, in Paris, or, this is what makes it attractive, or what is it called? It triggers emotion. It cannot be just a plain ugly story, because ugly stories, nobody want to listen ugly stories. I think that is it's film theory what they use. So they they must have all the students in the media sciences do not do anything else than learn this stuff and then work for such companies.
No, yeah, I think you're right, because, I mean, I've heard it from other people, it's all about fear and so, but if we go visit friends, or if we go talk on the street to other people, Are people really fearsome? Are really fearing other? I mean, is someone traveling by train in Europe, going to a train station, really fearful of that a bomb goes off? No, I don't think so. No.
No, but Paris, concretely, has changed enormously since 2020. It has really changed. I know it from own experience.
Oh, of course.
You have the presence in the streets. You have the laws that have changed. You have a fear going through. I mean, maybe not yet. I don't know at the moment. Maybe it's not so. Strong as
the effect is there. But if you talk to people, are people? I mean. Really afraid of terrorist attacks and so? No, I don't think so. No, it's more subtle programming than really. I mean, people are not really interested in it in the end, right? I mean, people watch the news and yeah, generally believe it, but it's not like they are not going out anymore because some terrorist come blow himself up and then kill you. No, right?
I'm wondering about that point, you know, because I was thinking about the Berlin Christmas market truck attack.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, on one side, it could also have been black marketing, as I call it. That means marketing, but with a dark content. So it's covered, or as we say, black operations, it's black marketing operation. So you do something terrible, but everyone knows it. It is bad publicity, but publicity cannot be bad. We know that. Publicity is publicity. So, and I just went to the internet and checked the statistics of the Christmas markets in Germany, and the Berlin Christmas market was one of the not so good running the previous years before that attack.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, maybe they have some such reasons, or maybe they combine the reasons. We know that the narratives also are combined. You have a vehicle attack in Barcelona, but it's not Muslims care the main content. The main content is only on the surface. It's Muslims care, the narrative. But the real narrative is vehicle regulation. We need automated cars. We need automated trucks. And in Berlin, I was thinking it could have been also black marketing. But how does it work if it is like that?
No,
people are afraid. That's a paradox, isn't it?
Yeah. As I see it now, I mean, a paradox is an apparent contradiction, but it's even contradictory. But I think now I understand what you mean. So if you allow me to translate what I think you're saying, the Berlin Christmas market compared to Aachen, compared to Cologne, compared.
What was Aachen? I don't know that.
No, I mean you have different Christmas markets.
Ah, the market. Sorry.
So Berlin was really not so interesting compared to other Christmas markets in Germany, right? So what you're saying, if I understand it, is that it's actual promotion of the Berlin Christmas market.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a Christmas market in Berlin. Well, let me book a flight with Christmas to go to Berlin. Mm. So then the purpose of it, it's not really the scare of terrorism. No, it's promoting in a good way or in a positive way the Berlin Christmas market.
No,
the same thing with Barcelona. I mean, Barcelona is a very touristy city. I've been there a lot. I like it a lot. But what the Barcelona so-called truck attack and the completely empty Boqueria market, I mean, literally that was the smoking gun for me. And there were pictures of police running around there in this market. I've been in that market. It's an everyday market. It's filled with people. It's people selling groceries, I mean, vegetables and all kinds of things. And it was all closed. I mean, all the blinds were down. I mean, it was just like on a Sunday when it's not open. And that's how they staged it. But it could be product placement, let's say, or PSYOP placement. I mean, it could be some kind of term like that for Barcelona, positively, right? So go to Barcelona. Yeah, there was a terrorist attack, but you don't care about that. No, promoting Barcelona via something negative. So black marketing Barcelona.
I go even a little further, you know. I don't know if I should start that now because it is 2:30 in my regiment. Uh-huh. But maybe only little quick, as John Adams says. I learned some phrases from here. Just little quick.
I am just talking to the reality, and he put up this PSYOP of today, this in Florida.
Okay.
And I invited him to chat about this on our chat we have right now.
Okay.
So I will send the invite to this.
Of course.
I will. Please keep talking. But
Only, you know, I was thinking really about that. There are many things that I'm thinking about, and I don't know if it's really important because we can anyway not change anything about it. But, for example, I was thinking, why are we so sure we is abstract? It just means an abstract plural.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we so sure that these events, for example, in Berlin, I stay on that example, why are we so sure that they are created by the, at least with the cooperation of the local apparatuses. I keep it abstract. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
For example, if something happens in Istanbul, there was also this disco.
Yeah, with New Year, yeah.
New Year disco bombing, or what was it, shooting? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I was thinking, okay. Why are we, in Istanbul, we are not so sure. Huh? It also could be some political group such and such or anything, or I don't know, or NATO or Russia or whatever. But in Europe, we are quite sure that it is with the cooperation and, of course, control of the local apparatuses. It is not possible otherwise. Maybe that's the reason. Over there, maybe it's possible. Maybe it's not correct, this analysis. You know, that's one point which I'm thinking of. The other point is, if it is black marketing, and I think that is a parameter. For the first time I thought about that in the Ariana Grande PSYOP or staged bombing, that was for me so clear because I have never heard that name again.
Before.
I'm of course I'm not in the age that is the target group of that kind of music and that age of singers. That's clear, but I'm used to you know to run through media all the time, and to catch the important points or changes. And I would have mentioned something if she's around. She was never around before. She's completely new, and she was presented in Manchester as if she was always there.
I mean,
the old trick. You present something as always old, but it's just cut.
I understand. I have heard about her before as well, but also, I mean, I'm in the same position as you. It's not my music. It's not my age group at all. I've heard about her before, so I recognize the name. But going into another PSYOP, mm-hmm. that is actually, I think that's more it's a bigger one as well, and it's also where most people, I mean anyone, has heard of these people.
Mm-hmm.
That is the so-called murder of John Lennon.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, the Beatles, they were extremely big in the 1960s, of course, and early 1970s, maybe. Mm-hmm. But he was so-called murdered in 1980 by Mark Chapman, so-called fan of the Beatles.
Mm.
But that was reinforcing the Beatles in that time. It was black marketing. Black marketing. I mean, I know I now understand what you mean.
Black marketing.
There is no such thing. I mean, it. I mean, the key quote is there is no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah,
it's what they do. Yeah. I understand.
The same with Whitney Houston.
Yeah, well, that was a DCP, so it's not really like black.
I'm sorry, but the day after she died, she
that
went
was today.
Out.
It was today.
It was it today.
Let me go into it.
Yeah, go into it.
Please,
I think.
Please talk. Yeah.
I think. I don't remember exactly the names, but it in Greek words it means a million times up. You know, she sold this song 20 million times on that day only. So she made on that day that song and that name, that character, that concept, made on that day so much money, so much profit as 10 years earlier, or the 10 years before.
Yes.
That is black marketing, of course. It's only DCP.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Actually, it was 3 days ago today.
Okay.
3 days ago, 6 years ago, it was the 11th of February. And the 11th of February is a very interesting day. And to all the listeners, I can recommend to look up, just type into Google, the disappearance of SS Ironic. And if you click that
link, go to Fakopedia.
No, but that's the good thing about the name. That's the good thing about the name, because the SS Ironic doesn't really exist. That is the name that I was giving to this PSYOP. And it is a very interesting. And if you find that link, when you type it into Google, you will automatically be directed to Fakeopedia. And this case was the pre-programming for a much bigger case owned by the same people, the White Star Line boat company. And the disappearance of the SS Ironic was a ship sailed out of Liverpool, UK, to go to New York, United States. And it was allegedly lost at sea. And allegedly it crashed into an iceberg. So reprogramming for Titanic. This case was 19 years before the Titanic. And allegedly, it happened 19 miles from where the Titanic sunk. And the only...
Maybe it was just a good idea and they did it twice.
Exactly. That's how they do it. Yeah. And this PSYOP, the only so-called evidence we have of this PSYOP is from 4 bottles that were allegedly released from this boat and found somewhere at the beach, somewhere in different places. And that is the only proof we have that this so-called event happened. And it's still a mystery today. And if you go to the Fakeopedia, you can read about it. And every link that can be found online is there. It's all linked. It's an interesting story. It may be minor compared to other stories, but it is also quite big because it relates to one of the biggest PSYOPs in the early 20th century, and it was the Titanic, the sinking of the Titanic, right?
Yes, which was a money scam, you say.
It was, of course. I mean, allegedly all these people who were opposing the Federal Reserve were on that, and then they were all so-called killed. So then the Federal Reserve, established by Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States, was kicked off. Ah, of course not. I mean, these people were. I mean, the probability that all those rich bankers were just on one ship, I mean, it's pretty slim. And the whole story has similar characteristics as the SS Ironic, owned by the same fucking company, sorry to swear, the same company as the Titanic.
I see. Okay. We do postpone that discussion which I wanted to raise previously about this paradox, which is, for example, which I see in the Christmas market truck attack in Berlin, which has to do with how could it work that you have such a destructive story, such a brutal or horrible or fearful or scaring story or tragic story, and then it is attractive. How does it work together? This discussion we have to postpone because I have to go to sleep.
No. Please sleep well.
Thanks for the YouTube on the Wikipedia. I didn't have time yet, but I will tomorrow.
No, please. Have a good night. And
have a good night. Bye-bye, okay. Gaia. Bye, friends.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com. Exposing media fakery one psyop at a time.